A number of years ago, probably around 30 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I heard an amazing story from Rav Zeidu Epstein. Rav Zeidu Epstein was the mashkiach in Rav Scheinberg's yeshiva in Torah Or. And later I found there's a sefer here of his biography, tells the story with more details than I heard it from him, though it leaves out one part that he said when I heard it. The story and the sefer says as follows. Rav Zeidu went to the Chofetz Chaim to get a bracha for himself, for his family. He had a petek, a piece of paper, where he listed all the names of his family members. He gave the petek to the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim held his hand with one hand, and he was reading the paper with the other hand, going through the list. Bracha to your mother, bracha to your father. He gets to a name, which was his brother-in-law, and all of a sudden the Chofetz Chaim reads a name, and he gets all upset. What? You're asking me brachas for my holiday Shabbos? Gets all upset, and he had to leave. Rav Zeidu had to go out of the room. But he didn't know what happened, because his brother-in-law, as far as he knew, was not a Mechal Shabbos. He was a very frum person. This part of the story I did not hear. From now on, I heard the story from Rav Zeidu. He said, what happened with his brother-in-law? So they did inquiries. He says, his brother-in-law learned in a very chashuva yeshiva in Europe, and he moved to America. Came to America, and there was no jobs for working unless he had to work on Shabbos. But he had Mesiris Nefesh, and he refused to work on Shabbos. Finally, he meets a relative of his who owned a factory, clothing factory in Dallas, Texas, and he sees his tremendous Mesiris Nefesh and his tremendous poverty, and he says, you know what? You can work in my factory, even though I keep my factory open on Shabbos. I'm going to let you work. You don't have to meet. You can work without Shabbos. So he goes down to Dallas, Texas by himself, without his wife, and he's working in this factory. And it's great. Doesn't have to work on Shabbos. After, he says, a certain amount of time, the boss comes over to him and says, you know, causing me a lot of problems. Because if you don't work on Shabbos, everyone's complaining, even the non-Jewish workers. It's not fair. He has a day off. We also want a day off. He says, do me a favor. I did you such a big favor. I gave you a job without having to work on Shabbos, and I'm going to stick to it. But at least come into the factory, walk around, make believe like you're a supervisor. So people shouldn't think you have a day off. Chas v'shalom, you don't have to do any melacha, you don't have to do anything, but just be in the factory. No. Sounded okay. What's usher? What's wrong? Halachically, is there anything usher in being in the factory? So he comes to the factory, and then, once he's there, and he's together with all the other people, are Mechal Shabbos, so eventually he ended up becoming a Mechal Shabbos. That's the story. That's the second half of the story I heard from Rav Zeidu himself. He said this story. We'll see. I want to mention later his conclusion. But the Musar Haskel of this story is that sometimes a person can do something which intrinsically is no big deal. There was nothing so terrible in this person coming to the factory on Shabbos. Maybe there's some kind of Isser Drabban, I don't know. Maybe there's no Isser at all. But practically speaking, Alpi Musar, doing certain actions has a tremendous hashpah. So you can do an action which intrinsically is totally parable. Intrinsically, it might even be mutter, but that action is going to turn you into a Mechal Shabbos. That action is going to make you totally, here you are, the guy with a Ben Torah, be Meiser Nefesh for Shabbos, And all of it, eventually, he became a total machad on Shabbos, his wife divorced him, etc., etc. The same thing you have for good. There's a sefer about Rav Shlomo Zalman, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we know was one of the Gedolei Hador in Eretz Yisrael. And it brings that Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say that what was the, so to speak, the turning point where he felt that that's what determined that he became a gadol. Said it occurred when he was a young boy for Bar Mitzvah. He was learning in a yeshiva called Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim, those who were in Eretz Yisrael, used to be, just so recently, was on Rehov Yaffa, right next to Machna Yehuda. It was on the main thoroughfare, right near the bus station. And he says the first bus that was ever traveling from Tel Aviv came into Yerushalayim. And it was a tremendous excitement. And it was going to drive right by the yeshiva, down Rehov Yaffa. And everyone was so excited. No one ever saw a bus. Bus coming from Tel Aviv, full of people, first bus. And he says, all the guys from the yeshiva went out of the yeshiva to see the bus. He says he was the only one, he stayed in the yeshiva, decided he's not going out. He's going to learn. He says when he stayed inside, Mirigoyim Eda, from those moments, he gathered on Shagati. That's what turned me into a gadol. In other words, that decision intrinsically was it. I mean, it's obviously a mitzvah. He learned an extra 5 minutes, whatever it is. But it's such a dramatic mitzvah, 5 minutes of learning. But this action, this commitment that I'm going to learn when everyone else is not doing, that's what made him into a gadol. So what it is you can have an action which, either for good or for bad, which intrinsically the action is not so serious, but the ramifications of the actions are tremendous. I once heard that this is shot in a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's really a Rashi in Chumash. The famous Gemara, the Gemara says that Bilam, when it says, Vayare Sakini, that Bilam, at the end, he looks and he sees Yisrael's family, and he has a question. The Gemara says his question was, Amar lo Bilam li Yisrael. Bilam says to Yisrael, Kini, lo a yisa imanu ba'oso eitzah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufav, weren't you together with me ba'oso eitzah? When Paro asked, what should we do about Bnei Yisrael? There were three people in the room that he asked. Myself, you and Eev. You were there with me. How is it possible that you are now such a tzaddik and I'm such a rasha? You're Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. You have a parsha in the Torah for you. Your children are Rosh Sanhedrin. We were together. And then the Gemara brings, Rashi says, what do you mean that you and he was together? Rashi says, like the Gemara is going to say, and the Gemara brings this Maisa, that there were three people sitting there when Paro asked the question, what we should do. Bilam gave the advice that they should turn the Bnei Yisrael into Avodim. Yisro ran away, and Eev kept quiet. So the question is obvious. What's Bilam's question? We were together. You're right, we were together, but we didn't act the same way. We acted opposite. You went ahead, Bilam, and gave this horrible advice to be Meshabeg Bnei Yisrael, while Yisrael was a tzaddik. He ran away. So what's Bilam's question? So the truth is, the man Ahmed Rashiva asked this kasha in the Chidushi Alei. Rashiva says that people have temporary lapse of memory. Things they don't like to remember, things that are not comfortable. So therefore, Bilam didn't remember that. But I heard from someone else who said a different shot. He said, of course Bilam knew the fact that Yisro ran away and he gave the advice. But Bilam's question is, a moment before that happened, we were both sitting in the same room. At that point in time, we were identical. We were on the same exact madrega. We both had the exact same nisayon. We're equal. Now, okay, you passed the nisayon and I flunked. But what little difference? How is it possible that one little difference, I go to the right and you go to the left, and then the next thing we know, we're millions of miles apart. Doesn't make sense. One little thing should make such a radical difference. You know, they give a mushel of a person standing in Chicago in the train station. Two people. And the train comes. One person walks a few feet to the right, and one person walks a few feet to the left. And the next thing they know, one person's on an express train to New York, and the other's on an express train to Los Angeles. They're hundreds of miles apart, but all they did is separate a few feet. That's what Bilam said. Big deal. So I gave the advice and you didn't. But we were almost identical. How is it possible that we became so different? But in truth, that's what happens in life. Two people can be identical. They make a little difference. And it changes their whole life. We'll apply it to the mindset. Yeah, you have two fellows in the high school. One fellow might decide, you know, maybe this year I'll go work a little harder. Maybe I'll go to an honors year. I'll go to my driver's year. Maybe I'll go to my majors year. Maybe I'll just listen more in class. And the other one says, no, I don't want to work. Basically, they were friends. They were in sixth grade, they were the same. In seventh grade, the same. In eighth grade, the same. And then at one point in time, they veer off a little bit. One starts learning and one doesn't. Big difference. He's paying a little bit of attention and he's not. Such a major difference. But life has a way of mitzvah gereres, mitzvah and avera gereres, avera. And the bocher that's paying attention in shir and working a little bit extra so that when he graduates high school, he's going to go to a better yeshiva and he's going to be well, he's going to get into it. And he's going to end up 20 years from now, he might end up the Rosh Yeshiva somewhere. And the other fellow that's not into learning, so he might also go to Israel, but he's not going to really be into it. He'll have his 1 year of fun in Israel and then he'll come back and go to college. He might also be a Shomer Shabbos, or maybe not, but the world apart. And it might have all started in a decision, what are they going to do in class? I had this episode with my father. My father was born in 1924 in Seattle, Washington. Seattle, Washington did not have any yeshivas in those days. Had to go to public school. But they learned it was a very frum city. My father said it was called the Yerushalayim of the West Coast. Had some very chasher rabbanim. And they learned, my father learned Gemara after public school in Talmud Torah. But, okay, no yeshivas. He went to public school, public elementary school, public high school, and he continued into public college. At some point, my father decided he wants to go to yeshiva. He wanted to go to Europe because of war. He couldn't go. So he went to New York. He said it was a three-day train ride. He says he went to New York. He went to learn in YU. Just for people who complain about Al-Shabbos, and he only came home once in 7 years because it was too expensive. But he went to New York and he became a rav. Okay, life goes on. About 20 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael. That time, my father was around 70. I'm at a Shalom Zocher in Yerushalayim. And a man comes over to me, says, "Your name is Luban. I was a friend of your father's in Seattle. I live in Seattle. I know your father. Oh, I would love to meet him." So at least it's my recollection, they actually got together. I told my father. My father is so excited. An old friend from 50 years ago. We were such good friends. The two friends meet. It's such a disappointment. They had nothing to talk about. Right? Because they're different worlds. What are they going to talk about? I don't know what the sports team in Seattle is. But my father for sure didn't know what the sports team in Seattle was anymore. So what are they going to talk about? My father went to yeshiva, became a rav, was Isaac and Sarchi Sibor, always sons of Rabbanim. He's retired. He went to move to Eretz Yisrael. He's in one world. This person stayed in Seattle. He's in a different world. 50 years later, they were once exactly the same. But 50 years later, they couldn't even talk to each other. They had nothing in common. So there's a tremendous realization that sometimes you can make almost a miniature step, which has so, maybe you don't, what's the big deal? Like this, like Rav Zeido Epstein, his brother-in-law was a chasher person, he said. What's the big deal to go ahead and to walk around the factory? I'm not doing anything. Is it awesome? But little actions, for good or for bad, can have major, major ramifications. I just want... Well, we got knocked off. Okay? I want to conclude with Rav Zeido. This is not in the Sefer. But when he said this over, he applied it to a Gemara in Shabbos. He said a very amazing part. I believe he quoted it from Rav Lessen. Rav Lessen was the Mashkiach in YU in the 30s, 40s. I believe it was Rav Avigdor Miller's father-in-law. I think that's correct. But anyway, he said as follows. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says, Ko oimer shleimo chata eina eretaya. That when you read the Navi, it seems in the Navi that Shlomo did a terrible avera. He married these wives who were, some of them were Odeh Avodah Zarah. And the Navi seems to say that his wives got Shlomo into serving Avodah Zarah. It's almost an explicit pasuk. The pasuk says that Shlomo went in and built Avodah Zarah, worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom. Shlomo didn't do any avera. He never built an Avodah Zarah. He never worshipped Avodah Zarah. What it means is that his wives tried to convince him to, but he didn't do it. So the Gemara asked Akasha, so then, if he didn't do it, so why does it write that he did do it? So it says, a very unclear Gemara, that it's just because it's a gnai to him. The Pasuk wants to criticize him. So what kind of Gemara? If he didn't do it, why is he criticized? So Rav Zeido said as follows. Go back to our story of his brother-in-law. I believe this is what he quoted from Rav Lessen. Obviously you have to be a big gadol to say this. He says his brother-in-law, when he decided to go to the factory on Shabbos, not going to do any malacha, just going to walk around, what would have happened? He decided to go. He walked into the factory, and as luck, whatever, shashkacha pratis, he got a heart attack and he dropped dead. So he never did chiddush Shabbos. He comes up to Shemaya. What's his din? So Rav Lessen said they're going to say you're a mechadel Shabbos. He says, "What do you mean I'm a mechadel Shabbos? I was never a mechadel Shabbos in my life." So he says, in Shemayim, if you put yourself in a situation where, according to the laws of nature, you're going to become a Mechadol Shabbos, then you're already halachically passing to be a Mechadol Shabbos. So he says, that person became a Mechadol Shabbos not when he actually did the malacha in the factory, but when he made that decision that he agreed to the boss to come into the factory, in Shemayim it was already written that he's a Mechadel Shabbos. So it says, and to some extent, obviously only on some extent, whatever, the same as Shlomo, that Shlomo could marry these wives who would attempt to entice him to do Avodah Zarah, that itself, to some extent, gave him a lumnish of things, like he would worship Avodah Zarah. So even though he never did it, but that you put yourself in an Nisayon, how could you put yourself in such an Nisayon already gives yourself a sack in some, to some level, as if you already did the Aveda. So what means, according to this revelation, an amazing thing, that if a person takes the first step, and he creates a situation whereby in 20 years from now, he's going to become a Choshiva Rav Talmud Chacham, then already now, it's Nigzar in Shemayim, it's written in Shemayim, he's a Talmud Chacham. And vice versa. If you take that step, which according to the laws of nature will cause you to be a Mechadol Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom, so you're already written in Shemayim, so that's what you are. So it's a tremendous concept for the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we know, is the Yom Adin. And the Yom Adin is a weighing mitzvahs and averis. And obviously, one of the concepts, we talked about tshuva, but there's another way to be zayich in the din. Sometimes it's easier. Instead of tshuva, it's obviously important, and we have to work on that. But there's also, if you could increase the volume of your mitzvahs, it's also good. Right? That would also be tremendous. Because there's a weighing. Mitzvahs versus averis. If you could go ahead and double your mitzvahs, triple your mitzvahs, it would be terrific. So according to this Rav lesson, we have a way that we could go ahead and greatly increase our mitzvahs. If we could go ahead now and take that first step, we would go ahead and sign up for something and some extra amount of learning, or take the learning a little bit more seriously, whatever it is that's going to cause that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not so smart to figure out the future. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, oh, according to the laws of nature, if you do this, then it's going to cause a chain reaction that in 15 years from now, you're going to be, who knows, you'll be a big Choshev Rosh Yeshiva, a big tzaddik. So then already, you get credited for all those mitzvahs now. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's Pshat Nasa V'Nishma. Person can go ahead and he can do now, even Nasa V'Nishma. You don't know yet. You don't even know. You didn't even hear yet, but it's already nasa. Because a person, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his chesed, goes ahead and judges a person, that you're given credit in the present for the ramifications of your actions in the future. And therefore, this is, I think, such a great tachbuda, great trick, to be able to be zeiche in the Yom HaDin, to make some concrete step, to put ourselves on a conveyor belt. Life is mitzvah gereres mitzvah and avera gereres avera. And the question is, where you take your first steps. You speak to people who have Be'ez Hashem succeeded, they'll tell you, the biggest nisayon was just the beginning. Once they started, it just happened by itself. Life just flows. But you have to make the first step. If a person can make that first step, go ahead and do something. Little step. It could be almost trivial. But that first step can cause a chain reaction of who knows what in 50 years from now. And a person can already receive now the schluss for all those mitzvahs that he will do Be'ez Hashem in 50 years.